Hello and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I am John Batchelor, a member of the club's Asia Pacific Affairs Forum and your chair for today. We also welcome our listening audience, and we invite anyone to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. And it's now my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Ms. Prabha Dineja. Prabha was born in India in a small town in Punjab, and her devotion to her Lord Krishna and her fascination of the study of Gita started at an early age, about 8. She graduated from the Sanskrit University of, you'll excuse me, Prabha, if I mispronounce this, Kurukshetra, and as a teacher of English and music. After coming to the United States, she took a teaching assignment at junior high school, and during her successful career as a teacher, she developed an increased interest in study of comparative religion, philosophy, homeopathy, astrology, and mysticism. As her progressive realization of the Supreme Self became more pronounced to her, she felt the awakened intuition as a silent call to the divine, an intuitive urge to share her enlightenment with others. Since then, she has given herself to the task of organizing religious workshops, discussions on the Bhagavad Gita, and Vedic philosophy. She travels extensively and is indeed a featured speaker at temples, schools, universities, churches, and other religious organizations. Please welcome Mrs. Prabha Dineja.
You have to help me for that. I think we move it. Here we go. Okay. Can I move this? Yeah. My papers. And the hammer. I don't need that. Okay. Thank you so much, Sean, for the wonderful introduction. My introduction is, I am a devotee of Lord Krishna, that's all. Namaste, good evening. My dear friends, it's always a great pleasure to be here and share my understanding of the highly cherished spiritual practices of Hinduism, treasured over generations. Today the topic is mantra and meditation. Meditation with mantra has been highly glorified in almost all the ancient scriptures of Hindu religion. First, we will discuss what is mantra and how this simple practice of reciting mantra can lead the aspirant into inner calmness, meditative unity in transcendence. Mantra, the word of power, holds within itself enormous latent energy, which is released with devoted, constant repetition. Each mantra is a Shakti Kendra, or energy center, which is activated as the aspirant keeps going back to mantra and attunes himself to its dynamic potential. The word mantra is a combination of two words, mana and thra. Mana means mind, thra means liberate. The famous aphorism, mana trayate iti mantra, means the word which liberates the mind from conditioned thinking and leads into the silence of the soul, that is mantra. A mantra can be a syllable, a single word, a hymn, but saturated with powerful vibrations. Now, regarding the source of mantras, it's believed that at the beginning of creation, some privileged souls were blessed with inner vision. And in their contemplation and yogic unity with the source of life, they heard a celestial sound from the unified field of consciousness, which later came to be known as Brahmanada, the holy syllable Om, the mantra, the root or the source of all the mantras written so far in Hindu scriptures. Now, any particular mantra which is given by a teacher to his disciple, that is known as Guru Mantra. First of all, let me tell you what Guru means. It comes from two words, Ga and Ra. Ga is the darkness, Ra who removes it. The person who removes the darkness from our psychological makeup, our thoughts, and gives enlightenment to us, that person is Guru. So in general, the Guru Mantra is a combination of one or more holy names of the Supreme Divinity. Om is usually included in the beginning of the sentence and also at the end to enhance its power. This special mantra, charged with specific energy, brings blessings from the teacher. The guru gives a new life to the disciple and helps the aspirant to awaken his own inherent potentials. See, we are all blessed with inherent potentials. Those remain dormant until we get a chance to get help from somebody or very lucky to be enlightened ourselves. Since Vedic times, the holy sages in India have emphasized the necessity of mantra initiation. They believed that a deep psychological change occurs in the mind of the disciple at the time of mantra initiation. Just like Swami Shivananda used to say, although an aspirant may feel nothing miraculous at the time of initiation, the special effect of mantra given by an enlightened soul is unfailing. There is no doubt about it. Although there's nothing secretive about mantras, and the use of a self-selected mantra can help the individual. But when a mantra comes from a self-realized guru or teacher, this becomes a seed. The guru, by his spiritual power, gives power to the word and thus awakens the dormant energy of the disciple. That is the secret of mantra initiation. And another important thing is that mantra given by a guru is a Jagrat mantra. It's an awakened mantra because it has been recited by the guru himself for many years, over millions of times. And also it comes from a lineage. It's a link in spiritual chain. As the disciple is being initiated by his guru, so the guru himself was initiated in past by some holy man whose spiritual energy is also being passed on at the time of initiation. Well, it's good to find a spiritual teacher and receive the mantra. That's my personal feeling because there was a great transformation in me after receiving my mantra. But if a person finds it difficult to seek the grace and blessings of a guru, he or she can select an appropriate mantra which has been recommended for the yogic meditation. And when the chosen mantra is recited with humility, specific energy is released from its syllables and creates link with the source, and the experience of meditative unity comes in due course of time. Now, the practice of reciting mantra, there is a way to do that also. The practice of reciting mantra is called mantra japam. There are some important steps in learning the practice. of japa in order to get the full benefit. Right after initiation from a spiritual teacher, the disciple is advised to whisper the mantra a few times and then silent repetition with sealed lips. Silent japam is a kind of internal dialogue and the most powerful method of creating unity with the source of life. As the silent japam becomes stronger and stronger, the spiritual energy begins to flow into the conscious states of mind, and it awakens the dormant energies, and the aspirant feels aligned and connected with the source of life. At that point, the mind remembers the mantra, and it goes on as naturally as possible. So we can say that a beginner makes effort to practice mantra with concentration, while an advanced aspirant simply remains aware of it. Mantra japam goes on without much effort, and it helps in meditation. In some schools of mantra yoga, the aspirant is advised to practice mantra japam by writing the words on a piece of paper, which is called likhit japam, which prepares the individual for quick success in mantra siddhi. It's very interesting. You make a paper, you write, and then while you are, it's just like when in this process of writing and reciting simultaneously, the words of mantra are etched in the memory and are recorded in the deepest layers of our consciousness, because you are looking at it and doing the silent job. So when we sit in meditation, the mantra starts appearing on the screen of our mind and gradually leads the aspirant meditator into the silence of the soul. It's very devoted and interesting way of achieving concentration in mantra meditation. A person can write the mantra in any language they like, but more preferable is your own language, because that comes very naturally. Now, some yoga teachers also recommend the use of rosary, mala. And this is the mala. And this is like you repeat the mantra like going on each beat. So while the hands are moving the beads and the mind is repeating the mantra, so this whole thing creates alignment of mind, body, and spirit, and really amplifies the concentration in meditation. Okay. By the way, I brought these. If anybody wants it, I will be more than happy to give one to anyone who wants, because I love it and I know what helps me. I should share it with other people. Okay, now Patanjali Ashtanga Yoga has emphasized upon significance of understanding the meaning of mantra. And the reason for that is when we repeat the mantra, dwelling upon its meaning, our thoughts move along the meaning. Otherwise, after some time, the intellect questions, what are you doing? What does this mean? Why you are doing it? So if we know the meaning, so understanding the meaning, dwelling upon the meaning, and reciting the mantra, so everything becomes very easy, and slowly our thoughts start taking the shape of the words. Both the mantra japam and its personal experience are very important for the spiritual growth. Now, coming to mantra meditation, which has been highly glorified in almost all the ancient scriptures as a powerful means for subjective experience of the higher states of consciousness. Meditation means attending to the thoughts with attention and intention. When we sit in meditation, we try to attend ourselves. We observe our thought pattern and try to go beyond that into the silence of the soul. and to be at ease within ourselves. But quite often it happens that the meditation session goes in vain. And the mind remains involved in those memories, those thoughts, those ideas to which it has been attached for some reason. Old memories, they keep coming and they disturb us. Just like they say, the old wounds are still open, through which the bliss slips away. But at some point, we have to take charge of ourselves and we have to learn to come out of this web, come out of this pattern, and be able to channelize our thoughts in the desired direction, to be at ease within ourselves, sahaja avastha, live by choice, not by chance, not forced by thoughts. We should be able to govern and move and channelize our thoughts the way we want it. So constant mantra japam really helps us to break the old pattern of conditioned thinking and helps us to learn to live in the tissue of the present moment, which makes the meditation session calm and peaceful. And you know why? How? Because mantra replaces one thought with the other one, which has links only with peace and silence. No links anywhere else, sorry. Okay, so quiet mantra japam works at our conscious level, subconscious level, and gradually creates a new thought pattern. And slowly, minds learn to settle there and enjoys the peaceful moments of inner calm and peace. Calmness and peace. So it is like coming out of a certain type of thought pattern and entering into another in which we feel relaxed, blessed. Devoted repetition of mantra helps the person to live in the awareness of the self and regroups our entire thinking faculty into a new image. Silent mantra japam is the seed, the beginning, the nucleus around which a person builds his entire yogic discipline. It is the key spiritual practice that opens the doorway to inner calmness and bliss. Brahmavid brahmeva bhavati. Bliss is Brahma. According to the ancient spiritual masters and the great mystics, mantra japam is really a prerequisite for meditation. Persistent repetition of mantra awakens the dormant energy, prepares the mind for concentration in meditation, because it encloses the thoughts into a small circle and the scattered attention into collectiveness, which is slowly followed by a state of inner peace and silence. As a matter of fact, relaxed meditation is a continuation of quiet mantra jap, which goes on in our mind all the time, if we pay attention to that and if we are initiated and make effort for that. It is a preliminary training which is necessary for meditative unity in transcendence. Now, meditation with mantra is a universal idea. I'm sure many of you have heard that, but in Hinduism and Buddhism, it is more predominant. The Nichiren sect of Japanese, they are also Buddhist, make use of sutra for meditation. Sutra like Patanjali, Ashtang, Yoga, and sutra, these are old terms, Sanskrit terms. Sutra comes from the root word suture, means to join together. It is a thread, it is a link, and the belief is that the repetition of sutra leads the aspirant to the desired goal in meditation. For a Tibetan yogi, mantra japam plays a very, very significant role in meditative austerities. The most popular practice of TM, transcendental meditation started by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi also involves simple practice of reciting the holy mantra given to the meditator by the spiritual teacher. Quiet repetition of mantra leads the aspirant into yogic unity with the source, where mind, body, spirit are totally aligned and the meditator enters into peaceful transcendence. That is TM. Mantra and meditation are very closely connected. Mantra is the means and meditation is the method. And when connected together, the meditator is ushered to achieve the higher goal in meditation. When we sit in meditation with proper alignment of lower back, shoulder, head, and prepare to calm down our body in a relaxed position, our personal mantra, if we have been reciting daily and doing practice, it appears. It appears in our thoughts. And the moment you click on it, the mind gets tuned to it and starts repeating immediately. In the beginning, we watch ourselves repeating the mantra. Slowly, our mind settles and the breathing becomes very slow. And we feel that instead of repeating the mantra, we are actually listening to the mantra. We are not doing anything. We are just listening. As we move into the deeper realms, the syllables of mantra start disappearing, leaving behind the mesmeric experience that leads the mind into total silence. Although in the beginning, the experience of transcendence lasts only for a few seconds. And you will be very lucky if it lasts 1.5 minutes. That is a lot, I tell you. But slowly, it becomes longer and longer, and meditation period becomes very effortless and extremely enjoyable. You don't want to even open your eyes. I mean, that happens in our meditation class. My students, they don't want to go home. You were there, Linda. So it's just, we are so much in trance and so relaxed. So the quiet and restful mind learns to restore positive energy in meditation and remains in perpetual communion with the higher self, even while engaged in the activities of day-to-day life. You can sort of tell that this person meditates. Mood elevation, enthusiastic attitude towards life, improved health, enhanced awareness, self-confidence, self-reliance, increased learning ability, heightened awareness, increased academic performance, all are the expression of total body coherence, total body alignment, total body synchronicity maintained in daily meditation. It's a blessing. According to the modern medical studies, on average in waking consciousness, the brain waves of a person when measured in EEG are most commonly in beta frequency. The pattern is very random and incoherent. All parts of the brain showing different wavelengths. One person thinking 10 things at the same time. But in meditation, as the person moves into deeper layers of consciousness, the pattern starts changing. And the brain waves are more coherent, orderly, and normally in alpha frequency. Quite characteristic of deep relaxation, peace, and harmony. In some cases, theta waves have also been noticed in meditation, indicating a deeper state than alpha, and the pattern is more synchronous. It has been also noticed that usually the advanced meditators are able to maintain the resonance of inner unity, as I said earlier, even while engaged in the activities of daily life. More relaxed, more calm. It's really interesting that the experience of deep rest and relaxation perceived during meditation is far deeper than what one receives in deep sleep. And in general, the meditators are able to lock the resonant field of the brain with the resonant field of the heart and create a total body coherence, total body alignment, total body synchronicity, total body relaxation. When every cell in body becomes tuned to the sound of Brahmanada, sound of Om and the guidance of the soul. Probably many of you have heard about the Center for Mind and Brain at UC Davis. How many of you have seen? That's very good, actually. So I think Peter Janata, the associate professor for psychology, he interviewed me. He came to my house and he interviewed. He just wanted to know how the brain waves of these people work. I mean, so passionate to serve the community and lead the community into meditation. And then I was invited at their center for MRI, which I didn't want to go. But it's quite interesting what they're doing there at the Center for Mind and Brain at UC Davis. And it's led by Peter Janata. So now, coming back to the lecture, although most of the mantras used for meditation, as I said, are the silent repetition, but there are some syllables, sounds, and words are the set of words. Those are used as a chanting in the beginning, followed by silent repetition in meditation. For example, the sound of the holy syllable, Om. You know, we do in our meditation class, like when you Om and then you breathe in. So when the meditator is trying to focus the energy. And also there are special sounds, the chakra meditation. When the meditator is trying to focus on the energy rising from the Kundalini Shakti, from the bottom of the spine to the crown chakra, located at the top of our head, the gateway to bliss, the gateway to freedom, the gateway to liberation and nirvana and moksha. This is the 10th gate of the body and also the 7th chakra. Also, according to ancient sages, the human body has been called a mantra purusha, means the person of sounds. This comes in Taittiriya Upanishad also, and it has been elaborated by David Frawley and also the great philologist Paul Dusan. He went to India in 1914 as a missionary from the church, and he became Hindu, and he wrote so extensively on Hinduism, on Vedas and Upanishads, and especially on the sound of Om. So according to the ancient sages, as I said, the body is called a mantra purusha, means the person of sounds. But what are these sounds? These are the 16 vowels of Sanskrit language, 25 consonants, and 9 semi-consonants. So these are the sounds, those are at different parts of the body, but most of these sounds, the 50 sounds, the vowels, the consonants, and those are along the spine. And if some of you are familiar with the petals along the chakras, at the spine, you know, bottom of the spine, the 4 petals, there are 4 letters, and then there are 6, and then there are 10, and then there are 12, and 16, and then 2. everything comes up to 50, and those are the alphabets of the Sanskrit, the very powerful sounds, very powerful mantras. And then there are sounds, as I said, you know, we do in chakra meditation, la, wa, ra, ya, ha, o. So these are all very powerful sounds, and I will not go into chakra meditation today, so because it's another lecture, maybe wish I should come back, John. There are also other 50 sounds along the spine. So those are used in mantra meditation, healing, and inner calmness, and general well-being. Meditation with these sounds, as I said, has been elaborated in Taittiriya Upanishad, but the most highly recommended sounds of course, these sounds, yara, lava, you know, along the spine. But there are some mantras, and those are reem, kreem, hum. These four mantras, and shreem, these are for devotion, for concentration, and you can practice separately, and you can combine them together also, for total body alignment. And there are many more sounds, those relate to marma points, the healing, because healing is also meditation, mantra, and healing. They're all very closely related. And person can give healing to himself or herself by certain sounds located in different parts of the body. Meditation with the holy syllable Om. Of course, there are many sounds, but the most powerful and the popular is the holy syllable Om, which has been highly recommended by the Vedic sages. And this mystic syllable, as I said, is the Bija mantra, the root mantra, the primordial sound, and it is just Om is, it is in the beginning of meditation with the sound of Om. We are just repeating the sound. Go Om, then you breathe in. It is at the conscious level. We simply float with the sound as it moves in and out with breath, with our attention deeply focused on its vibration. But as the melody moves deeper into the deepest layers of our consciousness, you will notice the beat of our heart and the sound of Om, they start merging with each other. Gradually, the mind also joins the sound and accelerates in spiritual ecstasy. And a specific silence is perceived between the two successive syllables. One Om ends and the other starts. There is a little gap there. That gap is transcendence. When you go into that little gap, so slowly we become unaware of the sound, unaware of the breath, and gently enter into the unified field of consciousness, which is between the two syllables. Although in the beginning, we are in the gap for only a few seconds. But with gradual practice, as the silence extends longer and longer, the meditation period becomes effortless and very enjoyable. The phenomenal power of the secret melody created at the rhythmical by the rhythmical repetition of mantra remains with us, no matter where we are and what we are doing. It keeps collecting the scattered energy and maintains the awareness of the indwelling soul, conscious and alive. Mantra meditation, when practiced properly, regularly, devotedly, and lovingly, creates calmness, yogic unity, and transcendence more efficiently and quickly than all the other hasty methods of meditation. mark my word. In reference to the spiritual ecstasy of mantra, I would like to quote these few lines by my very favorite poet, Rabindranath Tagore, from Gitanjali. He says, "I will utter your name, sitting alone among the shadows of my silent thoughts. I will utter it without words. I will utter it without purpose, for I am like a child that calls its mother 100 times, glad it can say mother." Another beautiful line, "It's the most distant course that comes nearest to thyself, and the training is the most intricate that comes to the simplicity of a tune. The traveler has to knock at every alien door to come to his own, and one has to wander through all the outer worlds to reach the innermost shrine at the end. My eyes strayed far and wide, till I shut them and said, here art thou. Open the inner door of the shrine, light the candle, and let's meet there in silence." Thank you. Okay, now your turn, John.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. That was very good. We have about 10 minutes for a question and answer session, if you have any. Lillian will be passing the microphone around. Does anyone have any questions? Please raise your hand.
So when you know the truth, when you've experienced the truth, and you know what we really are and our connection, you just keep going. That's it. Because you just keep practicing. even with the
I tell you, it's never enough. Mm-hmm. And it's very important. Sorry. It's very important to keep practicing, because it's very easy to get distracted and out of the track, mm-hmm, and go back into the same thing again. So, mm-hmm, regular practice. And that's why Patanjali Yoga Sutra emphasizes discipline, practice every day. And it becomes very enjoyable, very exhilarating over a period of time. In the beginning, it's tough and boring probably, but when you enjoy it, you just want to live with it, mm-hmm, you know? Okay, they told me be short. Okay, so the next question.
What is the best time to practice, meditation? Morning or evening, yes, or noon? Or?
Very good question. Actually, the best time is what we call sandhya, early morning, and also the sunset time, when the day and night meet. And there is a special energy in the air. Air is charged with spiritual energy, and the mind becomes very receptive to the call of the divine. And that's why it's very important to do early morning meditation. And I tell you, someday I want to teach all of you the sun meditation. Oh my God, it's so good. Gives new life, really. And that's early morning. And then in the evening at sunset time. In the morning, you sit facing east. And in the evening, you sit facing north for stability. Early morning, more light, enlightenment. So beautiful. Yes.
How long? It's depending on...
Yeah, it depends. You can actually start your practice with even 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But you yourself will, extend it, because you enjoy it so much. And then it becomes longer if you have time, Yeah, 5, 10, 15 minutes is good enough. Yeah, but twice a day, early morning and in the evening.
And you use your mantra during that
time.
You get distracted all the time. I mean, I think about the mantra. I do it for a little bit, and all of a sudden, all kinds of...
See, that's what I was saying. It's very important. We all go through what you are going through. Distractions, and as I said, old memories, and those keep crowding our mind. But at some time, some point in life, we have to take charge of our life. You know, some people ask me, I want to jump out of my head, you know, because too many things coming to the mind and disturbs in meditation. But as the practice goes on and on every day, and especially if take some mantra, just pick some mantra, believe me, and keep reciting the mantra, and it comes as a very, very important help. As I said, the moment you sit in meditation, it starts appearing in your conscious mind, and you click on it, and it keeps going. Don't have to do anything, you know. But in the beginning, you have to practice. So it's most of our life is do it, our self project.
And you do it in sitting. You sit.
Yeah. It's important to sit with the spine straight because of the uninterrupted flow of awareness, which goes from the bottom of the spine upward. Oh. Okay, so it is important. Otherwise, it keeps you healthy. And also, there is an uninterrupted, because there are two currents from here, Ida and Pingala, sun and moon. From the right side, they are like two snakes. You know, you see caduceus at the doctor's office. You know, that caduceus indicates perfect health. So these two channels, psychic channels, they go like this, and this goes. So there are junction points. So I brought this chart, which is the chakra chart. I kept it there, and that's where you visualize different colors with different sounds. And so you start sitting straight. Even if you are sitting on a chair, try that your feet are touching the ground and your spine is straight. Mm-hmm. That's where you get the full benefit of meditation, mm-hmm, with mantra. And if you think the other mantras are difficult, I'm not going to find the teacher, just do Om, 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 the most powerful mantra. And it's not difficult to learn. Om, 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 Om. And then you can wear it because it's charged with spiritual energy. I have several, and I, if anybody wants, I will be more than happy to give.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have a mantra from 1970 or so from Transcendental Meditation, but it's three syllables. So how would I do that on the little beaded
generally
thing?
Generally, the mantra they give is Hrim Shrim Kreem. I don't know which one is yours. Three syllables. Yeah, so that's what it is. H-R-I-M, or S-H-R-I-M. You know, I have talked to people. Generally, they are not supposed to tell, but some people do tell, you know, what their mantra is. So as I said, these are very powerful mantras. They are the mantra for the goddess, the power, and devotion, and also for healing. So, so you can combine all the three. You can just go one.
Okay.
Actually, I have brought some CDs. There is one CD, Mantras for Everyday Bliss. And I have several mantras in that. You can choose any one of those. Mm-hmm. They are very powerful and very good. And I have more, you know, in the box. We couldn't put everything out. So sorry, John, I again. But I think everybody can hear me. Yes, that is the one. That has that mantra which you are talking about. So you can combine together, or you can do it.
Mine was I am a.
Huh?
My mantra that I was given was I am a.
I am?
I am a.
I am a. Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I am a, soham, shreem, kreem. All these mantras are very good.
That's the first time I've ever told anybody my mantra.
No, these mantras are very good, but as I said, you know, you should know the meaning of your mantra, and that's why I emphasize and I tell all the teachers, those give the mantra, and that, you know, tell the meaning of the mantra also to your disciple, because after some time, they say, why I am doing all this? What does this mean? You know, intelligent, you know, like in our mind does it, but intelligence asks the question. So it's good to know the meaning of the mantra, yeah. Yes.
Yes, we're talking about different mantras. I'm assuming, though, as an individual, I would only have one mantra, yeah, or I wouldn't have a collection of them. That is that correct?
Yeah. See, individual mantras, again, there are some mantras. Those are according to your date of birth, your birth sign, and also the numerical value of, like, how many words add in your name and date of birth and all that. But everybody should have only one mantra. That's what I believe. Because if we become confused, oh, yeah, they are doing this, maybe that's more beneficial, they eventually all lead to the same thing, I tell you. So whatever you have, just stick on to that. It's very important. I mean, some mantras are powerful. But whatever you have been doing, that is okay too, you know.
Thank you.
Sure.
You mentioned that you teach classes in meditation.
Teach classes of meditation at Yoga Fusion in San Ramon.
San Ramon.
Every Friday night, and some of my students, actually, Linda is a great yoga teacher herself, and so Sophia and some of people have come from that class too. So it's at Yoga Fusion in San Ramon every Friday night from 7:30 to 8:30, and in that class also we have half hour question answer session. I give a talk, and then half hour is the meditation. It's supposed to be half hour, but nobody wants to wake up from that trance. And everybody has to go home, so we have to tell, it's 9 o'clock, let's go.
Thank you.
They said, let's sleep over here and do more. And I feel so blessed, they all love me so much, really.
Follow up question about developing your own mantra. Where would you go to do that, or how do you find that?
I do the mantra initiation. Okay. I have given my personal mantra, which was given to me by my teacher, 1991, and that just brought a new word to me. It opened my previous life to some extent, and that's where I wrote my first book in 1994, Mantra and the Modern Man. And I initiate people, I help them. So you come to our class, we will do, and if you don't find time on Friday night, you are very welcome to come to my house, and I will be more than happy to initiate you, and that will help you a lot. That's my promise to you.
That would be amazing. So is there a place where I can get your contact information?
Yes. On all my books, there is my email. And so any one of you, if we don't have enough time for any questions today, please stay in touch. Write your questions to me, and I will be more than happy to answer your questions. And we can meet at the Yoga Fusion. We can meet at the Hindu temple in Livermore. And it's also so wonderful, so much good energy there. And also, you can come to my house. It's open.
Thank you.
Excuse me? Yes, we can. We still have 10 minutes. And will you like to do the meditation for 10 minutes? Oh, okay, very good.
Okay, so the hardest part for me about a meditation practice is really just sticking with it, you know, like making myself sit down every day and just do it. So what's your best advice for, you know, starting a practice and sticking with it and maintaining it?
I mean, you do your meditation every day?
I try to, but it's very sporadic.
Yeah, that's what I explained. You need a mantra.
Okay.
And mantra and meditation are the two sides of the same coin, I tell you. You need mantra to be at peace in your meditation. There is no doubt about it. So come to my house. I will be more than happy to share my mantra with you. Or You know, we can meet at the Yoga Fusion, whatever you like. So contact me.
Thank you.
I want to share what God has blessed me so much to give. You know what? I went to the Parliament of World Religion in Melbourne, Australia. Tomiko was with me early morning, and we thought, who will come with so much rain and all that? The hall was jam-packed. People came for meditation, and then our time was over, and they were after me, initiate me, and I ended up giving like 300 of these Tomikos. So everybody wanted mala. Everybody wanted the mantra. And we were sitting in the lobby and, okay, so close your eyes. Feel relaxed. We will just meditate on the sound of Om. Feel the energy rising from the bottom of the spine, going upward between the eyebrows. Feel relaxed, calm and peaceful. While monitoring your breath, move upward from the bottom of the spine with the sound of Oh. Feel relaxed, calm and peaceful. Thank you. feel relaxed. Calm and peaceful. Join your hands in prayer, please. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Namaste. Gently open your eyes. Enjoy your evening. Thanks once again. So, take the books, the CDs, and the malas, and also
The books and CDs are free of charge in the back. Feel free to take in what you want. And once again, thank you, Prabha, for coming to the Commonwealth Club. And now this meeting of the Commonwealth Clubs celebrated of California, commemorating 112 years of enlightened discussions, is adjourned.